Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
This is our second call for May 2026, and I get to spend some time with a lady who is a member of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board, a lady who is spending a lot of time these days attending to her organic farm, but also spends a lot of her time when she's not doing that helping people like you and I enjoy more health abundance. And when I say health abundance, it's in every aspect of health, both physical as well as mental health. And she's been doing this for a very long time. She's a naturopathic doctor. She's had a practice now for, I believe, well over 20 years at this point. So when she's got a little time to carve out of her schedule to be with her on this call, we always appreciate that. And I want to make sure she's out there. Dr. Henrietta Alban, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Hi, Ken. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good evening. I can hear you loud and clear, so your phone is working beautifully.
Thank you.
Henrietta, I know that we talk a ton about, you know, supplements and a lot of physical health issues on these calls. And I know for a lot of people that is always good, valuable information that they're seeking out as we try to achieve this level of optimal health. But I think sometimes maybe one of the things we maybe overlook as humans, or sometimes we even don't get very much coverage on calls like this, is it's kind of like that mental side too. And I know the mind-body connection is a real thing. And so I think tonight you're going to be talking a little bit more in that direction. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I really want to speak about emotional health, which is mental. But the mental is, in this context, probably less important than the emotional, because the mental, we have to try to get away from too much thinking, is what I'm saying, and go more into feeling. And I'm going to dive into that right at the beginning for a little bit. So yes, it's about the emotional health, about forgiveness, about blame, about the past, about letting go, all those things that would send us a big fat hiccup when we are not feeling so well, and then we get to pile upon ourselves more than we can handle, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, too, in our world today, and again, just the state of things, there's a lot of polarity in our world today, a lot of emotional challenges for a lot of people. And sadly, technology has brought a much higher level of that, especially it seems like for our younger generations as well. But I've been educated over the years through people like yourself and others, where I realize that when emotional health is suffering, there's almost an inevitable leading to a deterioration of physical health. So I'm really happy you're covering this topic tonight.
Thank you. Yes, and I have to say, while they both can trigger each other, the body reflects our emotions. The body reflects our traumas. And when we keep quiet about things that happen, when we never let out of our bodies, out of ourselves, an experience that was very difficult to deal with, be that as a little girl or boy or later in life. It always is based on, the later in life is always based on a trauma that the child had experienced or observed or been shared with. It's really, really interesting how these things are so connected with each other. And emotional health and healing are probably the most important things that I have discovered in my work over the last close to 30 years. 29 years, Ken. Can you believe it? 29 years. So, anyway.
Let's not talk about that. That means that you and I are getting older. And I like to think that I'm young.
Yes. Yes, and we are emotionally healthy. You have actually always been emotionally healthy in my memory, in my recall. And I found you very balanced, and I haven't talked to Kathy about this, but I found you very balanced and easy to get along. And I know I mentioned this a couple of times, and I remember one time you said to me, I asked somehow, how come you are so unflappable? I didn't use that word. And the answer amounted to, brushing things off that are not really important, and that it's way too expensive to carry stuff that somebody else may have want to burden you with or something. So
no,
that
you're
absolutely
right. In fact, I'll say this, not unlike probably most people, I had my share of unpleasant and maybe not ideal scenarios growing up as a child. And I somewhere along the way, by the grace of God, realized that I can either let this really affect me, which you know, I didn't know much back then other than I just knew I didn't like the way I felt in some of the scenarios I was in as a young man and as a child. And I thought, or I can just choose to look at a better, more positive viewpoint. And again, I knew very little back then. I was young. I was inexperienced about life. But I feel like, again, maybe there was some divine intervention there, that emotional stability that I chose, I chose to have it, because I certainly could have chose the other direction, I think has allowed me through my adult years to be, like you described, just a lot more easygoing. And I just take everything in stride because, again, you know, there's just not a lot of benefits, as I've learned, of course, as an adult. And again, I've learned from people just like you, including you, that these things can be very detrimental to my health. And I'm a guy that wants to stay healthy and vibrant for as long as I can. And I don't want to have emotional baggage destroying that I'm working so hard towards.
Yeah, I agree. And what you're describing is very much the path we all go. Some of us have it easier because we can just learn to shrug it off, and others are born under a different star where everything has so much negative meaning and that it is almost unbearable to carry. They don't know how to get rid of it. It shows up at every turn, every corner, every movie they watch is related in some form to the violence that was done to them. And when I say this, I really mean the difference in perception of events that have happened to people is astounding. So you could have somebody who's had most horrendous trauma experience. I mean, the trauma is the personal impression. The trauma, when you look objectively at a situation of great violence to whatever, it is traumatic, yes. However, how our bodies carry the trauma is very, very different from person to person. And so what I wanted to do was speak about forgiveness, and not everyone can, you know. And I was looking at studies about forgiveness, and it is such a burden off people. And this is going right through the literature of psychology and psychiatry, what you can do to allow yourself to be even keeled, and like you, had the good fortune of having that insight early on. Those people who cannot let go this way are suffering. It's not about depression. It's not about a label. It is simply everyone's way of dealing with forgiveness, dealing with past hurts, which can be very different in gravity from one person to another. And again, their perception is where we have to start working. You cannot assume somebody who has a car accident that is traumatic is traumatized in a way that somebody who was in the war is. The nuances of human emotions and their expression are untold varieties. It is enormous. Ultimately, though, at the base of it, we are looking at carrying pain, carrying a grudge, carrying trauma, carrying blame, carrying fear even, that what if something like this happens again? A very interesting way of looking at things would be, do I have to forgive? What can I do? When we speak of forgiveness, we speak of it the way we carry it. If you hold a grudge, the grudge is not with the other person or persons. The grudge lives within ourselves. And so what we come to see is that the self-harm we do to us is immensely bigger, immensely bigger. And we make it worse by telling the story over and over and over again. That's not something that happens to just one in one area. Forgiveness has to be a bit more global. And I'm not talking about the outside situation. I'm really talking about personal health and well-being, because that is where we feel it, deep inside of ourselves. And so even the examination of theological understanding, in this case, particularly rooted in biblical wisdom and the theological knowledge, they can contribute, because they offer a path to forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an isolated act. It really is. It's not that simple. Before you can forgive, you have to do introspection. You have to really look at what happened. You need to be empathic with yourself and forgiving of when, for example, I mean, a topic I know quite well that I've worked with in my practice a lot is young women who were somehow molested or touched or whatever. And they came from families, not all of them, but enough, came from families where they did not get the attention. And so what happened is that they actually enjoyed all the attention, and that the male species has ulterior motives at times, and I'm not after men here in this call, I'm just saying it's the nature of life. It took them a while to realize that they had been violated in some form. Their privacy, their personal space had been invaded. And even there, you know, there may have been something they enjoyed, and out of that comes shame. Out of that comes guilt. What if I caused it? Especially if somebody is then stupid enough or too inexperienced enough, I might say rather, to insist that she brought it on herself by the protagonist. So having said all that, these personal experiences are no different from world experiences that affect our lifestyle. When I think of all the wars in the world, when I think of all the displaced children, when I think of all the horror stories we hear about children, I'm not talking about that kind of forgiveness. Some of that is just too beastly to go into. I'm speaking of the everyday occurrences where everyone in their childhood has issues. Everyone has experienced and know a rejection, a being made wrong, a being blamed for something they didn't do, etc., etc. However, with enough self-compassion, which is ultimately what we need, the self-compassion, the self-love, to see that life brings us opportunities, and I'm saying this on purpose, to emerge from what that trauma has been, to emerge in a way that is positive for ourselves. Let me go someplace else with this. It's okay to go to a group. It's okay to go to therapy for that. Just make sure you talk to people who talk back to you. You don't want to be sitting somewhere where you're the only one who's talking and telling stories. Because you need, in this continuous therapy, if that is about forgiving something awful that happened to you, you definitely need a dialogue. You need somebody to dialogue with, somebody who's empathic, not treating you like a victim. I have a real problem with that word, and I'm telling you this right up front. The victim is the one who keeps looking for blame outside of herself, or the victim is the person who was in some form hurt in a war, in a conflict, even in a street war, in a gang, whatever it may have been, doing things that they did not want to do and having to do because the outside world imposed their force onto him. It is not easy to deal with any of it, and yet by unraveling the layers of forgiveness and its psychological implications, which so often result in self-blame, shame, guilt, and more violence because you want to get out of those feelings and you don't know how. Talk to people, go to support groups, be with those who also have had an experience like that, and by all means, don't hold still. Don't keep still about it. If it's something that you're very ashamed of, go talk to someone. even if it means that you go to an AA group or an Al-Anon group. People who have had addictions are very well versed in the listening and the steps that it takes to heal ourselves. So can we forget the past? Can we work towards, you know, this whole topic for me, because it's something I'm dealing with a great deal, not the violation, not the guilt, not the trauma, and not the forgiveness, but actually in the piece of longevity. They don't call it longevity anymore. They call it lifespan. And the healthy lifespan is something so incredibly important. You know, like they say, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. True. True. Money can only buy you so much. And you know what? You can't take it with you. And physical health is very important. And it is so often impaired by the mental, emotional, unfortunate events that lead people to blame and to shame and to guilt and to pain. I mean, you know, those four attributes are very difficult to work with in the long range. So sometimes you will see forgiveness show up with a but. Okay, yes, I could forgive him, or I could forgive her, or I could forgive this situation, but. And that is what you have to be careful of when you know people or you talk to people who have this issue, you come across them. They not only, and I'm not going to put labels on any of this, their behavior will speak to them, and it's been often enough talked about elsewhere. The way they take things is, yes, I can forgive, but. Right? So now we're coming into a righteousness, the righteousness of the victim. I deserve to be right because I was wronged. Okay? My take on this is, and my philosophy has always been, that you take responsibility for yourself 100%. You do not blame your environment. You can in the beginning if it helps, but I tell you from experience and all these professional sessions I've had, no. There is no right in you continuing the wrongness of what happened. There isn't. We are asked to forgive. And actually somebody years ago explained to me the true value of Jesus and his story in the Bible, aside from the, you know, it's a massive teaching. But this person said to me, you know, the biggest gift that Jesus has given us is forgiveness. Because what we had before is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was very black and white. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it was an enormous step forward in the evolution, the emotional and mental evolution of mankind. It took them a while to figure it out, and I must say, unfortunately, most of the world is still not quite up to speed. And this isn't about being an obedient Christian. This is simply a huge shift in the moral code, in the ethics code of people of that time, that they were told, you could be better if you chose to. You do not have to keep to the old practices that we have been, you know, seeing happening for thousands of years. What if you could just let it go? What if you could forgive, not just others, forgive yourself, because that is where it lives. Make yourself okay with whatever has been there. And if you need more than okay, which I encourage, find ways where you get to be beautiful, precious, innocent, yes, innocent, and honestly loving yourself. These things are super, super important. And whenever anything is trying to override or take over, step back a moment. If it's within a conversation with someone, suggest that you step back and I just need a minute. Can we postpone this? I need 5 minutes. And you just either leave the room, you don't leave the house, you don't leave the conversation, you simply say, it's like you renegotiate the space you're in with that person. It'll take strength on your part to do that. They may come after you because their pain body isn't done yet arguing with you. So you step back and you take breath. Take a deep breath. You take three or four deep breaths. And you put your hand on your heart and you say, what do I want out of this situation? And if it is to have the other person do something, it's not going to work. The only power we have in a situation like this is what's within ourselves, who we are. We can only be an example of our intention when we are calm and when we're breathing easy. So count to 10, step back, ask for a moment, and set that boundary. I remember when I first was working with people and studying the subject as well, of trespasses physically and spatially from one person to another, and that boundaries were super important. I don't know if any of you remember the expression, talk to the hand, right? Whereby you hold up your hand and you put your flat hand against that person. You don't touch them. Talk to the hand. So I have always utilized that to say, okay, so this foot and a half between your hand stretched out and your body is your personal space. No one gets to enter that. No one gets to invade that unless you allow that. That's a physical boundary. Other boundaries are, you don't get to talk to me like this. I refuse this conversation. Call me or talk to me when you're calm. Things like setting boundaries are necessary when we transition from one place to another, from a place of old stories that keep resurfacing or old stories and that are essential to be forgiven, let go, and that our soul's journey, our life brings up in form of people confronting us in certain ways. Oh my goodness, why am I seeing this again? This isn't okay. All right. Yes, you haven't let it go yet. So in my circles, we talk about life being a spiral of growth. And at the bottom of the spiral, things are really deep and hard and whatnot. And then as we get older and we learn more and we do some of the things I've discussed in this call, we get better. And then there seems to be a hiccup a little farther up the spiral, and we say, what is this doing now? What have I caused it to be here now? What is this? And then it is super important to remind ourselves that we have already done the work before. And then the mind lets it go. I can't tell you how often I've done this in my women's groups and in private sessions. Letting it go means I've already done the work. It helps a great deal, and I will leave you with that. Try not to blame yourself for the feelings you have. Examine your thoughts. Forgive yourself. Love the one who has the thought, I am not worthy. I shouldn't be angry. I am guilty. I feel so much shame. I hate this person. I'm angry at them. All of that are your little orphans inside. They're parts of your inner child who has not quite been integrated into your heart, into your being. And that's about the size of it. I hope this is helpful.
Yeah, it's a great topic, Henrietta, and one that sadly a lot of us don't like to talk about or maybe even acknowledge, and it's important. I mean, because I'm going to speak to, for just a brief moment, the physical toll, because whenever we've got unforgiveness, whenever we've got, you know, pent up stress or anxiety or frustration, or we're holding a grudge against somebody, it's always been said that we actually are the greatest benefactors when we practice forgiveness. My wife and I are currently spending this entire year studying the Bible and going from the first page all the way to the last, and So forgiveness, of course, is a big premise, like you said, from biblical teachings. But, you know, there's a physical toll, and the physical toll is one of those that a lot of people overlook. As an example, we know that when somebody is emotionally distraught, that leads to things like elevated blood pressure or elevated heart rate, and obviously increases people's risk for things like cardiovascular disease or heart attacks. You know, we have weakened immunity when we have these things going on. We have physical stress, and that turns into hormones that suppress our immune system and obviously makes it harder for our bodies to fight off any kind of illness or repair themselves. Sometimes for people who have this unforgiving spirit or attitude, or they just, you know, they harbor these ill will feelings towards others, that can even lead to physical symptoms, right? I mean, people can have chronic pain or headaches or muscle tension, just various different types of physical, you know, abnormalities just because of the stress and the tension. And then, of course, the one that we see constantly in our modern day world is when people have, you know, these emotional disorders, and they're not practicing, like you're suggesting, things like forgiveness and giving themselves some emotional space and looking for, you know, help or counseling to try to work through those things, then they develop, you know, either mood or mental disorders. And that's where we see people with anxiety and depression and, you know, post-traumatic stress and all these types of things that then, of course, in our modern pharmaceutical-driven world are being, you know, suggested that people need to be on these psychotropic drugs, and it just, it becomes this vicious circle. So it is amazing to see when people put into practice some of the things that you talked about tonight, not only does it make them emotionally happier, and does it lighten their spirit, but many times people will report, and I know you've seen this in your own practice, they'll report when they go through this exercise of lightening their emotional load, that suddenly, oftentimes for many of those people unexpectedly, they physically feel better. It's not just an emotional or mental improvement. It becomes a physical manifestation and improvement. And so, and I'll throw one last thought out there, and then I'll turn to you for any final comments you have. But, you know, in pharmaceutical medicine, when they're testing a drug, there is what is often referred to as the placebo effect. And that is the, you know, the mind is so powerful that if we've told ourselves something or we believe something strongly, the mind can actually create a physical manifestation, but it also, of course, works in reverse. You know, when we have anger and anxiety and frustration and anger, all these things that drive us, it creates a physical manifestation. And I think, again, a lot of people oftentimes either don't know that or they forget that connection is very real in the human body.
Yeah, all true. Every word you spoke, and very well said, very measuredly said. There is a emotional correlation between certain emotions and our physical organs. So, for example, anger is liver, right? Kidneys are fear. Lungs are grief. Not the heart, the lungs are grief. And the heart, obviously, is love or the lack thereof. And heart energy is super, super important. If anyone ever has looked at heart math, which is a group of studies that have come about, I think out of Massachusetts, where the Heart Math Institute has done studies galore about the emotional impact on the physical body and vice versa, and how it, when we keep thinking that we are sick, we are sick. The body will listen to this because we create our own reality. So however we emotionally or physically mend that or work with that, any step forward has to include both physical and emotional health. And what's so interesting to me, you know, there's this proverbial, well, it's actually a story, so it happens so many times, let's just say a businessman, super stressed out, doesn't spend much time with the family, is driven by making money and all of that, is being told by his therapist, by his doctor, you know, your ticker isn't doing so well, and how about you take a break and all of that, and he can't. He can't take a break or he won't take a break. Just this one more thing, so not knowing when to stop. Then he has a crisis or a very serious diagnosis. He could be laid up for months, and invariably, unless they die and don't get to talk about it, but invariably, all of those people who have had these traumatic experiences return back, including cancer, and then being on their rebound, or even not, living with it, saying, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. It made me stop, and it made me spend time with my family. And I was able to let go of a lot of old stuff because, suddenly the perspective of being harmed by myself, which is very real here, manifested, and I did not know what to do with it. I had no more power. I could not make a decision, and my body just went kaflooey, and I was flat for I don't know how long, or suddenly my focus was brought inward so much that I had no choice. I had to pay attention or die. Yeah. It's very real.
Yeah. Well, Henrietta, I know this is a topic that is always one that's a little tougher just because, again, for some people they're thinking about their own emotional situations that maybe they haven't had the opportunity to deal with yet or they haven't had the opportunity to really come to terms with. So hopefully one of the take-home messages for those of you listening in tonight is that, you know, for you, this is always a wise thing just because it'll make you not only feel better emotionally, but it will definitely protect you, you know, long-term physically. So that was one of the take-home messages for me from tonight's call. And Henrietta, as always, I appreciate everything that you do to contribute to everybody's well-being as part of the Zuma family. So thank you for your time tonight.
You're welcome. I want to say one last thing. Don't forget to laugh, all of you. It's a serious topic, yes, at the same time. Let's stay positive and let's stay really happy as much and as often as we can, okay?
That's great advice, and that's a great way to end tonight's call. I appreciate that. All right, Henrietta, thank you for your contributions tonight and always. I really appreciate it. And folks, thanks for listening in live again tonight with us. And of course, we've recorded this call. We encourage you to share this with anybody who you think could benefit from this information as well by accessing it right through your members only section of your Zuma.com website. So until next time, everybody, thanks for being here. I look forward to hearing you online again real soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.